O little town of Bethlehem, imprisoned you now lie, above the deep and silent grief surveillance drones now fly, and through thy old street standeth a huge illegal wall, the hopes and dreams that peace will come are dashed in this year's fall. O morning stars together, look down upon this crime, the people sing to God the King, but justice who can find? Yes, Christ was born of Mary, God's love remains supreme, but mortals sleep as children's weep, their pain is never seen. How silently the world and church protests, as checkpoints grow and towns confined, as settlers steal and rest. No ear may hear the outcry as Israel's wall is built, while meek souls muse, apartheid rules, we speak or share in guilt. O holy child of Bethlehem, give strength to us, we pray. Cast out our fears and open eyes, O give us voice today. We stand against injustice, the occupation must end. May justice rule our Lord's birthplace. May now Christ's peace descend. I wonder whether you found that adaptation of O Little Town of Bethlehem by Stephen Lear rather unsettling or even shocking. Then it's probably because of the way Christmas has been sentimentalized, largely in the 19th century when many of our popular carols were written by people who had never actually visited Palestine. But if the people of the 19th century sentimentalized Christmas, people in the 20th century trivialized Christmas. Naive romanticism has led to cynical commercialism. What will happen to Christmas in the 21st century is really up to you. This evening, I want us to explore the dark side of Christmas. I want us to discover the raw, authentic, genuine, real, true Christmas in Bethlehem then, in Bethlehem now, and Virginia Water here. Well, let's begin with Christmas in Bethlehem then. In our reading, John writes, John 1, verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. What kind of world did Jesus come into? The Christmas story begins in darkness, pitch darkness, the darkness of various forms. There's the darkness of occupation. The Roman occupation of Palestine was ruthless and unforgiving. The Israelites were terrorized into submission. They were a defeated nation. Palestine was occupied territory. And traveling as Mary and Joseph did from Nazareth to Bethlehem, even under the orders of the occupying power, would have been a long and a dangerous journey, especially for a young pregnant woman. The road was littered with the corpses of those who had resisted the occupation, hung from crosses for mile after mile. They served as a warning. There would have been roadblocks, checkpoints, spies, rebels, bandits. Mary and Joseph had to travel, probably with others, for their safety. There was the darkness of the Roman occupation. Secondly, there was the darkness of exploitation, because the Roman occupation was maintained by ruthless discipline and overwhelming force. The Romans were not prompted by altruism. The conquest of Palestine, just as much as the conquest of Britain, led to the exploitation of the conquered. The developments which the Romans fostered in agriculture, in mining, in the grand irrigation schemes, in the impressive new cities and seaports, aqueducts, roads and fortresses, were prompted by one single all-consuming goal: to maximize the revenue sucked from their empire. And so the Israelites paid dearly for the Roman occupation. Heavy taxes, huge levies on agricultural produce to feed Rome's appetite. Forced conscription, the men were forced into slavery or as seamen or as soldiers. The people paid dearly for their colonization. Indeed, it was the despised Roman taxation system that led Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem that first Christmas night. The census declared by Caesar Augustus was intended to identify the value of his assets, human and material, and increase the revenue for his empire. The darkness of occupation led to the darkness of exploitation, led to the darkness of disillusionment. That is why an ever-increasing number of Israelites felt that violence, not faith, was the most effective path of resistance. Where was the coming Messiah promised so long ago by the prophets? And that's why we see in the first century the rise of the Zealots, the resistance movement, the freedom fighters, the Sicarii, the dagger men, bent on liberating Palestine from occupation by violence. They assassinated fellow Jews who collaborated with Rome. So on that first Christmas night, the mood in Bethlehem was one of despair, of violence and resignation. There was darkness, the darkness of occupation, exploitation, and disillusionment. Christmas in Bethlehem then. But what of Christmas in Bethlehem now? I've given you a taster of that in that short video we watched. This evening, I'd like to introduce you to three of my Christian friends. They are relatives of Jesus, living and working in Bethlehem today. They are an endangered minority threatened with extinction. I'm going to let them speak to you about the meaning of Christmas tonight. First, my friend Wissam. Wissam is a tour guide in Bet-Sahur. Bet-Sahur means the shepherd's fields. His village is built over the shepherd's fields east of Bethlehem. Wissam said this. He said, "We live in a hunting zone. The last 7 or 8 months have been the worst months in our lives. Before the new government took over, people were able to struggle and to eat. Now everyone is tired, everyone is hungry. People are desperate. We are feeling our weakness, the weakness of what they call justice in the world. Look at the new maps. Look at the settlements. Over 500,000 settlers now living in the West Bank. The wall is going all the way around us. A stranger may think it's a zoo or a national reserve, but it's not. Zoos or national reserves are protected. We are not. Bethlehem is surrounded. With all of what is happening in the world, talking about a real comprehensive peace in our region may seem like a dream. We are too far from this dream at the moment. But I have a dream to make peace. Peace with ourselves, peace with our neighbors and friends, to make Palestine a livable place for Christians, Jews, and Muslims, despite all of the challenges. This is possible." Let me introduce you to Zugby. Zugby, another of my friends. He's the director of YAM, which is a conflict resolution center in Bethlehem. He said this recently, "Bethlehem is going down. We need compassionate listening. We need prayer. We need exchange visits. Our hope is in you. We see God in your faces, in your prayers, in your words. I shiver with hope when you come. In Bethlehem, we are hostages to fear and paranoia. Less than half of 1% get permits for travel. There is no freedom of movement, no freedom of religion. Displacement of anger is growing. 80% of children are showing signs of trauma. 500 families have left Bethlehem in recent years, 3,000 people. We live in a pressure cooker. 80 shops are now closed. The wall is squeezing everywhere. Banks refuse to channel money. We don't get post in Bethlehem, and if we do, it is severely interfered with. For instance, we had some Disney videos sent from the United States for the children. They didn't arrive for months. When they did arrive, only the boxes came. The videos were taken out. When we said why, they said for security. But despite the difficulties in our lives, we will rejoice at the birth of Christ at Christmas. We pray that through the miraculous birth of Christ, we will see the wall go and change into a bridge of understanding between the two peoples living here. Our prayer is that through mutuality, inclusivity, the road to reconciliation will conquer our fears, our paranoia, and injustice, and the Holy Land will once again be a source of hope and light. Sukhbi Sukhbi. And finally, my friend Naeem. Naeem Atik is the canon of St. George's Cathedral in Jerusalem, but he won't be in Bethlehem tonight. Born and raised in Jerusalem, like many other Christians in Palestine, he will not be allowed to travel the 6 miles to Bethlehem to celebrate the birth of his Savior. The road to Bethlehem is blocked with checkpoints, soldiers, and a separation wall. Last week, Naeem wrote this. He said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. We can only understand God's peace against the peace which Caesar gives. For Caesar, peace is imposed by might. It is against this kind of peace that the radical message of Christmas comes to us. Peace comes when the sovereignty of God is acknowledged rather than Caesar's. For people living under occupation or oppression, Caesar has become a symbol of the evil that crushes and enslaves. The message of the angel stands for God's kingdom. In God's kingdom, glory and sovereignty belong to God and not to Caesar. God's peace is not achieved by crushing and eliminating others, but by embracing them. Caesar's empire is built on violence and military might. God's empire is built on justice and mercy. Caesar's peace enslaves and humiliates. God's peace liberates and restores. Caesar builds walls to separate people. God tears down the walls to unify and reconcile. Caesar's peace is exclusive for a chosen few. God's peace is inclusive to all, regardless of their race or ethnicity. Peace will not come from the Caesars and all those who trust in their military might, but those, the meek ones, who put their trust in God. It is the meek who will inherit the earth. Peace will come from the labor, the toil, and the hard work of those who do not glory in their riches or their power, but glory in their love and service of God, and in their love and acceptance of others. May the new year bring us closer to the peace we hope for, and let us continue the struggle together for the achievement of God's peace for all the people of Palestine, Israel. Christmas in Bethlehem then, Christmas in Bethlehem now. But what about Christmas here in Virginia Water? How are we to celebrate Christmas now, tonight, now in the darkness that is just as pervasive here as it was that first Christmas? We may not suffer the darkness of occupation or exploitation, but there is still the darkness of spiritual ignorance. There is the darkness of moral blindness. There is the darkness of malevolent evil. The darkness in our world, even in Virginia Water, is real. But because of Christmas, it will never get so dark that we cannot see the light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Into the darkness, God sent an eternal light. As you walk home this evening, notice that the darkness does not intrude upon the light. It is the light that intrudes and scatters the darkness. Light is always stronger than darkness. And the forces of light are stronger than the forces of darkness. Tonight we are reflecting upon the dark side of Christmas. I want us to discover the authentic message of Christmas. And we find it in those verses that we read. John 1, verse 11. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to those who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The coming of the light of Christ divides the darkness. The coming of the light of Christ divides people. There are three groups mentioned in these verses. There are those who will reject the light of Christ. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Let me ask you tonight, does this verse burden you? I hope and pray that it does. The presence of evil, of oppression and injustice in our world won't end tonight, however much we pray for peace on earth. Why? Because this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Until Christ returns, our calling is to bring light into those parts of our world consumed with darkness. Our message to those who reject Jesus and who cause darkness in love must be one of warning. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Some will reject the light of Christ. But some, however, will receive the living Christ and become children of God. Verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Let me ask you, does this verse reassure you? I hope and pray that it does. Do you know that you are a child of God? If not, then become one tonight. The Son of God was born this night so that you might be born a child of God tonight. Repent of your sin, receive him as your Lord and Savior, and have the assurance of God's word that you are a child of God. And if you are not sure and you want more information, then join our Christianity Explored course starting Thursday, 17th of January. Some will reject the light of Christ and face judgment. Some will receive the living Christ and become children of God. And some will rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ and proclaim the glory of God to others. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let me ask you, does this verse excite you? I hope and pray that it does. Because if you are a follower of Christ, it will. This night of all nights, you will sing of the glory of God. Because the light shines in the darkness. The light divides the darkness. The light dispels the darkness. So we have a choice. We have a choice. Are you rejecting the light of Christ? Have you received the living Christ? Are you rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ? If so, you will not be afraid of the darkness. You will not be discouraged by the darkness any more than our brothers and sisters are tonight in Bethlehem. Because in Jesus, born this night, we have found a life that overcomes death, a love that conquers hate, a truth that prevails over falsehood, and light. Light that will shine in the darkness, and the darkness has never and will never overcome it. And the people all said, Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we confess that it is so easy to turn our backs on the dark side of Christmas and look for the warm, fuzzy feeling. Lord, thank you that your word challenges us to face the reality of the world into which Jesus came and the world into which Christ longs to come today in and through us. Lord, help us tonight to go from this place strong in our faith in you, rejoicing that our Lord Jesus Christ came as the light of the world. And through our words, our actions, and our thoughts and our prayers tonight, may we bring peace, may we bring light, may we bring hope to others who still live in darkness. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.